Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning! Happy best day of the week.
Why is it the best day of the week?
Because it's Thursday.
Isn't it Friday?
Nah, Thursday's the best day of the week.
TGIF?
TGIT.
Okay.
We had this discussion last week.
No, I don't think so. I remember this.
Todd, you remember this discussion?
Yeah, we did, because we talked about how in college it was the night you'd go out and party.
Yep.
And it kind of
started the weekend.
Yep, because you could, a lot of people could kind of slough off a little bit on Fridays.
Well, not just students, the whole country, right? You went to casual day?
Yeah.
Remember that? That was back in the day, but you wear a tie on Friday.
In my entire working career in the media and everything, every day has been casual day. It's funny when I see these people out there, and everybody one-man bands now, as we call it, you know, do your own shooting, although the equipment's a lot smaller than it used to be. But, you know, they'll be out there in sport coats and ties and everything. Yeah. I wore jeans 99% of the time I ever worked in TV or radio.
You're big on caps and visors. Did you wear that too?
Wait, have you noticed that?
Yeah, just a little. Just a little.
Okay. Can I always tell my hair's get long or too short, so I always wear a visor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when my hair gets long, it gets just wild. Just crazy wild.
Yeah, be a little bit careful, right? Because if you're, well, you probably always did the Packers, but you have Packer visors and your visors.
I'm a visor guy.
Yeah, but they're.
I feel like my head sweats a lot when I wear a hat.
But those, your visors are labeled. I mean, they, right? You don't just have like a white and blue one.
I don't even know where you'd buy a visor without a logo on
right.
it. Yeah.
But you got to be a little bit careful being in the media. Do you remember there was a press conference one time? And I think it was, could have been.
Well, I wouldn't wear a Packer visor if I was covering the Packers.
No?
No. No, that, no. You got to have that separation a little bit with that. You can't be like, I mean, now that's why it's kind of cool where I don't cover the Packers per se. And I can, you know, I can pull for the Packers publicly and whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, when you're media, you got to be, you know.
What I say though, there was a you know how you guys do that Super Bowl and it's media day?
Yeah.
And some guy was interviewing one of the quarterbacks and the guy was just like wearing his home team shirts and the guy called them all.
Yeah.
I can see that a little bit,
Me
right?
Me too. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. No question about it.
Yeah. You're right though. Visors all have some kind of logo on, Nike or something.
No, I can live in a visor.
I don't even know.
I can live in a visor. No question about it.
Okay. And more.
So, jeans and a t-shirt and a visor, and I'm the happiest guy in the world as far as how I'm dressed. And slip-on shoes, because I can't tie shoes very well.
Yeah.
Is that something I've never learned how to do very well, is tie shoes good?
That's such an accomplishment for a little kid.
I learned with bunny ears.
Yeah.
And I never adapted further from that. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, but
like
you
even
know,
these shoes. Okay, these shoes I got on, they got the tie things. Okay,
yeah.
But I got them tied tight, and then I just slip them on. I don't tie them every day. Is that a weird thing? I'm an old man, and I still don't know how to like properly tie shoes.
I would. Okay, whatever.
No, you're gonna say I wouldn't say that publicly. Here's what I know: 12 times.
That's true.
You have said I wouldn't say that publicly. Today, Thursday, March 14th, National Potato. Oh, and by the way, our friend Dr. Chan, the rain ended, huh?
Yeah.
Did you see it? I didn't.
No.
I was in Manitowoc at a speaking engagement.
Working. I was working last night.
Did you see it, Todd?
I saw clips of it afterward.
Okay. Great run, though, man.
Oh,
phenomenal run. Unbelievable.
I mean, you know, and we.
But he's not done yet, though, right?
I don't know how that works.
I thought it's like you got to win.
You have a playback on that?
Well, I thought it was best of, you know, they were saying best of seven, but that they said whoever wins three.
I read that.
Which is wrong.
Right.
That's wrong math.
And this is Jeopardy. And they got
it wrong.
And Mino and I got it right. That's scary.
I know.
That
well, it's
you need
one
four.
Of the two. It's either you, the first one to win three, or it's the best of seven. But three isn't the best of seven.
Oh, I might argue
unless,
that.
Well, you know what I mean? Unless
there's been places where the people have won three and the other team came back and won four.
I know. Well, that'd be didn't that happen with the Boston Red Sox in the World Series? They're down 3-0 and came back.
I don't know, but
yeah,
that can't happen is my point. So I would, if I was a contestant and I was one, the guy won three and they gave him the trophy, I'd be like, wait a minute. I still want to try that.
I could still run the table. I could win four in a row. Well, I agree. So I still don't understand. I don't think it's been fully explained.
Yeah.
If somebody knows, please let us know, because we've still been in the quandary about this. But it just makes no sense when they say it's best of seven, so whoever wins three wins.
Yeah, I don't think they have a consolation round, Todd. I think he's done, but I don't know.
I don't think so.
No?
Is he, Todd?
I'm not sure.
Again, we're on the radio and we're supposed to know everything. We know nothing. The only thing we know is what our people tell us.
And we know it's National
Potato
Chip Day.
We have 1,000 experts out there, and we're not.
We get plenty of advice.
Yeah, we do.
And but with this one, we don't know. And I think we may have discovered.
But I have seen it both ways, where they say win three, and then somebody else, or then somewhere else, will say best of seven. Mm.
And they're not together.
They're two different things. Yeah. Right. So anyway, yeah, today is National Potato Chip Day. You chip guy?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, when my kids were little, Lay's potato chips, and then and I can tell, you can blindfold me, and we did that one time, and I just, they had J's and Lay's and some other, and yeah, I like potato chips a lot. I like salt, and that's one of my problems.
I'll tell you what.
That's a problem.
There are so many good dips out there.
Oh, yeah.
There are so, when I was a kid, you had French onion.
Which is still very good.
Yeah, it's a classic, but now, man, you got so many good ones, like the spinach dips and the hot dips and the different dips, and they're not cheap. Have you seen the prices on those things? They're like $9 a jar.
But you know what? Yeah, I buy those. I have three of those in my fridge.
Do you?
Yeah,
I do.
And you know that garlic? I like that.
Yeah.
I do like the hot peppers.
Yeah, I love them all. Yeah. I haven't had
it. And that spinach is good, too.
Spinach is great. I've never had a bad dip.
But French onion is still.
It's a classic. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
I do think you might want to add that French onion. I think they've backed down a little bit on the onion part. You know what? I do. I think there's a little too much sour cream in there. So you may have to add a little French onion soup, that dry packet.
Ah.
Pour that in there and just
spice it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, when I was a kid, though, the only problem is because chips have come a long way since we were kids. A long way. All the chip we had the Lay's potato chips.
Oh, Jay's. Jay's was big when we were kids.
Oh, we had Lay's. L-A-Y-S. You guys had Jay's?
No. Lay's, we had J's because we couldn't afford A's. John, what's going on here?
Well, we were big time. We were big time.
Okay.
So, but the problem is, remember how thin they used to be? It's like you look at a thing of dip and there'd be 14 little pieces of somebody else's chips in the dip.
That always told you if the host of the party got cheap chips, right?
That's what I was alluding to.
Yeah. But I think
that's exactly it, Todd. No. That is 100% what I was alluding to.
I know what it was. Ruffles.
Ruffles were the big ones. Ruffles
those were strong chips.
Those became the ones. Those were the go-to dip chips.
Right. That's what I.
This was before Doritos.
I was wrong on those kinds of things. I was wrong on J's. It was Ruffles. Remember that commercial? Ruffles have ridges.
Ruffles have ridges. Right,
that was a stronger chip.
Much stronger. Okay. That was a good dipping chip.
And then we got into the. Well, Fritos was always a strong chip.
Oh, yeah.
The big ones.
We didn't really dip Fritos. They tasted so good by themselves. They didn't need to be dipped, I thought.
I'll try it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anyway, chip and dip is, like, great. I love it.
Phenomenal. Like what I said, I'm on death row or whatever. My last meal.
Oh, that's coming on mine, too. Yep. That's coming
on my tray. I'm having a bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah, I know.
With olives and mayonnaise. Real good mayonnaise. Okay? None of this Miracle Whip stuff. Okay.
Do you want the real mayonnaise?
Real mayonnaise. Get me some of that that really good, the spinach dip and some really, really good thick chips.
Okay.
Okay?
We can do that.
Yeah, and chocolate milk.
Yeah, I know that.
All right. Here we go. The finals are a best of seven.
Yeah.
So the first player to win three games will be crowned the tournament's new champ.
That doesn't
make
sense.
If it goes seven, they would extend the tournament through March 20th. I don't get that.
Neither.
Because like in the World Series, you got to win four.
Well, three is not the best of seven.
That's what I mean.
I know, but this guy said the finals are the best of seven. That's his first seven.
But I've seen that exact thing, too.
The most important.
So I don't know. But it's like, again, the NBA finals, you can go up three games to none and get swept four games and lose.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't get. Oh, yeah, I got this.
That's true, though.
Rhinelander chips were the cheapest and sucked.
You know what? A little early for suck, but yeah, you're right.
I hate to say anything out of Rhinelander. Like Rhinelander, you ever have Rhinelander beer? Do you remember that one?
I was going to say, did Rhinelander try a few things?
That was like the cheapest beer around.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I remember we used to go to the softball tournament. It was the Hodag Invitational.
Oh, yeah, that's what
it was
big.
Huge. That's big. I mean, you'd have thousands of people at
these
games.
You got a whole
games.
Museum, and yeah, that's their thing, though. That whole day thing.
That was
yeah.
used to be so big. And I remember going out after the game and drinking Rhinelander beer. And let me just say, it ended up, it didn't go all the way through my system.
Right.
It
yeah.
came back at me. Two things I can't drink. Well, that Rhinelander beer, Point Special beer.
Yeah.
I never
Point
liked.
The blue.
Ah!
Yeah.
That just had a weird flavor to it. I thought, do they still make that?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
But so I did the grades for my students yesterday, right? Because they have to be 72 hours after the class. But we always talk about, you know, in marketing, the P's, you know, the product, the pricing, but the placement. And many, many things are good, better, best, you know?
Yeah.
And they sold some of these because there's a segment of the market that's going to go all to price. And that's those Rhinelander chips this guy's talking about, this lady's talking about. And, you know, it's amazing they sell that because it's not that good.
Right. But how does that get determined? Like, if you've got a product in a grocery store, how do you get, like, top shelf and lower money?
You pay for slotting in grocery stores.
Oh, do you really?
Yes, you do.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
So you pay extra for that,
yep.
huh?
Yep.
Wow.
But sometimes it can work where you have such a great product like that that peanut butter that was real popular for a while. That
Jeff?
Nut, no. Todd, what was that? It was like nut something? Whatever. I don't eat peanut butter, but...
I don't know.
If it's extremely popular, you can demand shelf space.
They'll still take cash for it, though. They will. I'm just telling you, having to worked in yeah. the retail yeah. grocery business,
right.
It's all slotting dollars.
Had no idea.
And that's why to buy an end cap costs a little bit more, but people are yep. walking by it, and they usually just throw it in the cart.
For a what?
And, you know, at the end of the aisle, like
the end display?
The end cap, the end display.
When you're at the counter?
At the grocery
store. No, at the grocery
store. No, but I mean at the counter of the grocery store?
No, there's okay. aisles in the grocery store, right?
So, okay. Yeah, as you turn the corner, there's always something on display yeah. at the very end. That's an end cap.
And that costs more.
Yep.
Wow! And then you said something one time. I thought about this last time I was at the grocery store. Something about the stuff around the walls are more healthy for you or something?
Just stay on the perimeter. Don't go inside.
Stay on the perimeter. That's what it yeah. was.
Well, the perimeter is usually the fresh stuff, like
right.
your bakery and your produce and your meat department.
Right. And I've never thought about that, but yeah, you're right.
Well, when you go to the nutritionalist, they charge you for that. I give that to you for free. But they tell you that when you go to the grocery store, can you stay just on the outside?
Wow.
The oval lap. You can't
that
go inside.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, and that is really true if you think about it. Like Todd just said, right? You walk in, you see the produce is on, you know what I
yeah.
mean? It's all on the,
wow.
some dairy stuff. But
today is also Genius Day and Pie
skip
Day.
Over.
And when you say pie, you got P-I, you mean that pie?
We'll talk
P-I-E.
About that
okay,
in a
we'll
second.
Talk okay. about that. Mind of America getting started here on a Thursday. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here on a Thursday morning. 42 degrees in Green Bay, 45 in Afton, 42 in Oshkosh. But man, there is strong north wind.
It's cold.
It is coming right from the bay.
Yeah.
It is coming right off the bay, right off the Fox River, and that is a really cold north wind this morning.
Yeah.
So don't let those temperatures fool you.
Yeah, I didn't walk to work today.
So Nutella was what you were thinking of, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They can,
hazelnut spread?
Right.
I've always seen that, and I've never had
it. I think they can come in and... If it's so sought after by the consumer that they don't pay as much as if you've got a new product you're trying to launch. Like these people come up with all these coffees.
You might be
and,
surprised.
Okay.
Because they even pay for ad space in their newspapers and for end caps. And
well, when you see those ads, whatever, Hy-Vee or any ad, Menards, they're not doing that. They charge those vendors for your weed eater and stuff to put that ad in there. They'll come and see you want this for X and
X. Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's amazing. You can see why those things are so profitable. It looks like they have a lot of expenses, but a lot of them are paid by the manufacturer.
Oh, I believe that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But that end cap thing, it works. That's why they charge so much for it. And then, like you
never
said,
thought of that.
Eye levels more than, you
sure.
know, on the floor.
And whatever they want to sell the most of.
Right.
Like if their profit margin is big on a certain item, they want that at eye level.
You know, I've always wondered that about bookstores. You know, because you're always looking right eye level at the books, but you know how many people really go down for the lower shelf?
Yeah. I don't know. So if you go to Costco now, and maybe they always did this, but they put those carts in the middle of the aisle
yep.
with stuff. A friend of mine told me that when Walmart does that, I don't want to give you the number. It's like millions. Incredible. It's incredible how many people, when they're walking to get something and they see this cart in the middle of the aisle, they buy something. He said,
and you can put like anything in there.
He said, yeah. Really? Anything.
That's why you see those cheap videos and stuff in there too.
Like it's always the old DVDs. Yeah.
And it works.
Yes, it does.
He says, you wouldn't believe it. Yeah, he was, because he kind of knew that retail. And you gotta be kidding me. Like a certain percent of people buy that.
But you know, one of the things I always wonder though too is like even at a festival, they've got that just phenomenal, you know, meat section and the fish and the lobster and the shrimp and everything like that. When they close at night, what happens to that great looking meat?
Well,
a couple of things. I mean, again, I've worked in that industry, so a lot of it will be pulled out and placed in the cooler or whatever. Some of it will stay in the case and get covered and whatever. But they have very strict guidelines on how many hours it can be
like
out
there.
Like
shrimp, especially. Sure. You know, you see shrimp on ice, and what do you do with that?
But
Could you be there like at night, when they're closing and get a deal on it?
No, I tried that. No. But they'll put it in the 30% off bin.
Oh,
you know, a festival, it's like right down, there's the meat, and then there's like the chicken and stuff, and then at the end, there's the 30% discount bin.
Okay, I haven't noticed that, to be honest with you.
That's good. Anytime you want to go, I'll take you.
Yeah, you guys have just taught me more about groceries than I've ever known in my entire life.
And did you see where $1,000 tree or dollar general stores are
closing? Yeah, closing 1,000 stores.
They are, in 2 years, 600 this year. So where are you going to get your... John, where are you going to
eat? All travel.
Where are you going to get your...
Where are you going to get your tuna?
Where are you going to get my hot dogs and my tuna and my canned salmon?
You know, that really surprises me. Me too.
I'll tell you what. You want to talk about long lines. If anybody wants to get a job, go to the Dollar Tree and become a checkout person.
Right.
Because you'll be in line. And the problem is there, some people, because, you know, they're buying... Like, it's a party. And they'll have two carts full of stuff.
But did they say why they're closing 600? It bothers me a little bit because... One is that they had really some unbelievable growth, and you know the economy is not great, and so they had you talk about positioning
your niche,
right? Your niche is John.
Me?
I'm
the niche.
You could spend more, you just don't want to. But there's a niche for Dollar Tree, but they're closing 600, which is a lot. I wonder why. You know, because
don't you think the supply
where they just
the cost
maybe,
has gone
maybe they
up?
Just can't sell them for well they went up to $1.25, which doesn't sound like much, but think about that. What think if somebody else went up 25%?
Yeah, I know
that's a lot.
But if you think about it, a lot of the fast food restaurants now you go buy a burger, it's gone up 25%.
Have you seen that? But you know another thing I've noticed at Dollar Tree now they've got some $5 shelves where they sell stuff for like $5. Yeah. So it's maybe that's their way of so.
I hope they're not closing because the area isn't safe. You know what I mean? Because remember Starbucks? How many did they close? They're like, look, this is crazy. Everybody coming in here.
Well, I know in San Francisco they're closing lots of places just because of the
crime. I want to find out why Dallas, because I just think their branding was pretty good. I just think people went there. Now, you went there for everything. I just would go there for scotch tape or something. But they you know you're going to get a good deal there.
Well, yeah. So
I don't know why they're closing 600.
I'll do a taste test with you someday. No, I'm going to buy hot dogs.
Excellent idea.
Thank you.
I'm not eating a hot dog.
Expensive
I am
hot
not.
Dogs, and I'm going to buy Dollar Tree hot dogs, and I'm going to put them both in front of you. You tell me which one is a Dollar Tree, which one is the most expensive.
Okay, I'll tell you that.
We'll do that. And we'll do it with tuna fish, too.
I bet he won't be able to tell.
Oh, you want to bet? Get the saltine crackers. I tried them there.
They're
not
fine.
Even, well, we'll not try, even
we'll
close.
Put totally
not
we'll
put that
even,
on the list.
You'll not, put that on the list. Johnny, we're doing a taste test.
Not even close.
We're doing a taste test.
Not even close.
Light and taste test.
So pie day is the 3.14 day.
Right? Okay.
But a lot of people then turn it into what's your favorite pie?
Yes. Got it.
Right? So I've got some questions for you, and I thought we could open it up to our listeners all along, right?
Okay.
So one category is dessert pie. What's your favorite dessert
Pecan.
Pie?
Okay, but number one is apple pie.
That's like, your vote, right?
No, to win, that's not my favorite pie.
Oh, there's no winning here. I just want to take a poll of
I just want to win. Okay.
Everything is so competitive with you. You're not running for office anymore.
Yeah,
wow.
But apple pie is,
a staple, you bet.
It wins big. I did do a little research on this last night because I knew that we were going to talk about this. Did you get the Wisconsin number one pie in Wisconsin?
Cherry?
Did you look that up? No.
Oh.
What is it?
Guess. So you said cherry. I would have guessed something like that, or maybe apple.
Yeah.
We like our pumpkins here, right?
Pumpkin pie?
Yeah, it's not. It's not. Do you know what the number one pie? Google
blueberry?
You haven't even guessed it yet. You've gone through it five pies. Google put a map out, and it's got like.
Wow, Dad, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll give you one more guess. You're not going to guess it, but guess. This is Wisconsin.
Rhubarb.
That's a good guess. I love rhubarb pie. It's honey pie.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. There's no way that's the number one pie in the state of Wisconsin. You're so wrong. It's unbelievable. The
Googles would be wrong, you guys. No. Then I looked up the recipe.
Nobody even knows what honey pie is.
I thought maybe.
Quick poll, people. Have you ever heard of honey pie?
And that sometimes people call
Yes, just yes or no. Folks, please help us. How do they do it, Todd?
They can text us by getting the Civic Media app and downloading it today.
Okay. Honey pie, have you ever even heard of it or tasted it?
Google says honey pie is the number one pie in Wisconsin.
Okay, I'm 100 years old, and I've never heard of honey pie.
Except calling your wife that. Hey, honey pie?
No, she calls me that all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm sure she
does. All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it would be...
I'm looking. I'm not seeing anything about honey pie.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Hey, look, I did this last night. Yeah, I know I'm right because I got scolded one time for not doing enough show prep. So last night I was on there and I looked it up and got the map.
Great show prep there, Coach.
I'm telling you, when we go to break, I'm going to find it and come back.
We'd love to have,
no way.
Anyway,
have our listeners tell us their favorite pie.
Yes.
And then later today, we'll have some of the results on our Facebook page.
Here's
the deal. Yeah,
strawberry or rhubarb?
Two things. You have to, folks, if you're texting it, two things. Favorite pie and a yes or no. Have you ever tasted honey pie?
Okay.
Yeah. It's so far 100% no on the honey pie.
Thank you.
They're kind of well known. They're doing all right. Google? Yeah. And they're the ones who said honey pie.
No.
And I looked up the recipe. It's really diabetes pie. Holy mackerel is the sweets.
Well, you know what? We know who we'll talk to? Big Wayne.
Yeah, I know. He's probably the guy.
We'll talk to Big Wayne. Does your Angel, and that's her name. Does Angel make honey pie?
He probably stuffed the ballot box for that. Because people are going to say, well, I'm going to go out and buy it. And I'm
knowing Wayne, he kind of would. And what are you going to do about it? He'd kick our butts. I know.
20 seconds, guys.
Okay.
But, all right. Folks, we want to know your favorite
pie.
It's National Pie Day. And have you heard of honey pie?
But my favorite pie would be rhubarb.
All right.
Mine is pecan and then coconut cream. Mine are the mayor. Back after this.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. We're talking about a very important subject coming up, but first, an unimportant subject, of course, your favorite pie. Have you ever eaten honey pie? We're going to be talking to Big Wayne, hopefully, in a little bit to get to the bottom of that. This segment brought to you by Midwest Restoration, 24/7 emergency services for its clients, provides a full range of services for both residential and commercial properties, fire damage, water damage, mold damage, wind and hail damage, vandalism, storm damage, biohazard, whatever it is. They will be there for you. They are great, great people in the community. Habit for Humanity, American Red Cross, Feeding America. If you need assistance, call 920-MIDWEST, MWRestoration.com. And if you take a look at these guys, take a look at Ryan and Coyne. Wow. They're just unbelievably built. And it says right on there, we don't need honey pie.
The votes are coming in on that.
It says it right on there.
Zero honey pie.
No. You guys are wrong, but
no, we're not. But the poll,
the wrong, right?
Yeah, the polls. Well,
whenever you lost an election, all the people were wrong, right?
Well, the polls coming in this morning.
No, yeah, let's say,
right, yeah, I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
I never lost an election.
That is true.
So the polls coming in, zero references on honey pie. Nobody understands that.
Thank you.
But some of the ones coming in that people do like, blueberry pie is very high up there. Yeah. Cherry pie is a big one. Key lime pie, which we had in the studio as well.
Yes.
And pecan pie is actually in the top spot right now.
Thank you very much.
Isn't that is great. Well, rhubarb didn't. Nobody called in with rhubarb.
Nobody called in with it, but I think we did get one text on it. And later on, we're going to talk about your favorite pizza pie.
Okay.
So we'll talk about like your favorite toppings on a pizza.
Okay.
And then your favorite savory pie, and whether or not pasties are a type of pie.
Interesting.
Discuss that.
I like this. I like it. Switching gears here, we got Cheryl Dickman. Fox City's victim crisis response team is here. Cheryl, your favorite pie?
My favorite pie is a toss between the key lime and pecan.
Okay, all right. There you go.
What if you could do a key lime pecan pie?
But you talk about mixing stuff, but there is a strawberry rhubarb.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's apple rhubarb, strawberry rhubarb.
I think
rhubarb needs a little something to go with it. It's too like bitter otherwise.
Too tart.
Right.
Good work. Mrs. Terzaghi's garden and take a piece of rhubarb. And they also say, if you don't take the red part off, you'll be poisoned to death.
But
then you put some sugar or salt on the thing. You never heard that?
No.
You guys have never heard that the red part was poisonous or something?
No, the red part's the best part of the rhubarb for cooking, especially when you're baking.
We were always told you had to peel that off because it was poisonous.
No.
No.
Oh,
we wouldn't cut our.
You guys may have dodged a bullet here, let me tell you that.
Yeah, we're.
Boy, it's amazing that you two are still alive.
We would go cut our own rhubarb, right?
Yeah.
In the garden, and that was it. You know, take the leaf off, but we never.
And you never peeled it?
Nope.
We didn't either. In fact, you're not really supposed to cut it, you're supposed to pull it out of the ground.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That is true.
Okay, that's going to be. Put that on the list for Big Wayne. Question
okay.
for Big Wayne.
All right.
Is rhubarb pie, do you have to peel it or it's poisonous? No?
No, John, that would have been big, big news. Are you kidding? How many little kids go in there and grab a piece of rhubarb? No.
No?
Wow. I don't think so.
And all right, Cheryl, thanks for being here. But if you're not going to agree with me, let's go.
But
hit the street.
I was going through the data Cheryl sent us. Rhubarb is not on here. No,
rhubarb is not on here. But I do want to just throw out a little trigger warning in case it's going to be a little bit of a sensitive subject for people. I think it's really relatable, but we are going to be talking about overdoses.
Yes.
Yeah.
So overdoses are the leading cause of injury-related deaths in the U.S. It's actually just skyrocketed over the last several years. And a lot of families have been affected by overdoses in one way or another. Whether you've experienced it directly or indirectly, it really does leave that lasting effect on people. But you can overdose on many different things. It doesn't just have to be drugs.
Well, you know, one of those things, and we have a lady come in here who's one of our favorite people in the world, and her son, she lost her son 2 years ago to an overdose. And she is such an authority on that. She spoke to the state assembly and said, are you people, basically, in so many words, are you people ever going to open up your eyes to how serious this problem is?
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling how big this problem is, how many overdoses we have. And Green Bay is one of the big ones, this
Green
whole
Bay
area.
Is, yeah. Yeah, I actually, I brought some statistics with me. In 2023, Winnebago County had 47 overdoses. 31 of them were fentanyl related.
Yeah.
So that's just mind boggling Winnebago really isn't that big. But in 2022, there were 29. So it pretty much doubled.
Yeah.
So I thought that you guys would find that interesting. We did have in Winnebago County in 2023, we had 130 non-fatal overdoses. So those are people that were able to be saved by Narcan or life-saving measures that were able to bring them out of it.
You want to know something that's scary, though? Because
mm-hmm.
Sandra and I went to this place that's going to be like a halfway house for people recovering and doing okay. And the lady told us about they will have Narcan parties.
Yeah.
Where they will take it to the point where they're basically non-responsive, and then they'll jolt them back to life type thing. I mean, how?
It's a whole different level of mindset right there.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah. And there's so many vending machines out there now that carry Narcan that is free to the public. So you're able to have it. It does make it accessible for people to have those Narcan parties that you're referring to. So,
unbelievable, isn't it?
I know.
It really is.
Brown County in 2022 had 58 overdoses. We don't have the numbers yet for 2023. The only reason why 2023 is for Winnebago is because yesterday there was a big event in Oshkosh called the We Heart You. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that resource, but you can download it. It's a free app, but it's able to help direct you for any kind of resource that you would need in regards to any kind of suicidal mental health, overdoses. You just can go right onto that app and it will take you right to.
All right. So you work with, or you're the executive director of the Victim Crisis Response Team, more the Appleton area, Outagamie area.
Is Winnebago and Outagamie County, yes.
All right. And it's no secret that overdoses kill a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I bet you the numbers in Brown County are going to be higher this year than they were last year.
I bet they're double.
But I don't,
at least.
But anyway, all right. So you've got fentanyl, medications, non-prescription, people overdose from a lot of things. What do you do about that? Because it's not getting better. What do you guys do? I want to learn about this.
So as VCRs, when we're paged out on scene, we are, our goal is to be there with the family, but to also get them connected and let them know that, yes, this is going to be a really long journey that they're going to be walking through. But there are organizations out there that will help walk with them in that loss that they are experiencing. GRASP,
which is, and they cover the entire, they'll go wherever. It's all on virtual. So that's why I really want to put a plug out for them. GRASP is called Grief Recovery After Substance Passing is what that stands for. And what it is families that have experienced an overdose loss in their family, they're able to all come together on a Zoom call virtually and be able to talk about it. A lot of people have a hard time leaving their house after they've experienced this. They don't want to go and sit in the presence of other people and, you know, sit through their grief and cry and let down their walls. It's safer to do that in their own home. So this organization has been able to accommodate those families and say, listen, we will help walk with you through this, but you can do it from the safety of your own home.
That's a necessary step in the grief process.
It's huge.
It is. They've got to really do that. And I'm surprised Zoom works as good as, I've been at those things. But when you're together too, that's pretty powerful.
It is.
But as long as it works, I mean, that's the point. But because you don't want them being angry the rest of their life. They've got to get past that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anger is one of the steps, but they got to move on.
And I think one of the things that a lot of families really struggle with is I could have done more.
Right?
I should have done totally. This is my fault. I should have stepped in. But trying to get them to understand that this was out of their control. This was something they couldn't control, because if they could have controlled it, it would have never happened. So trying to get them to understand that, you can tell somebody that till you're blue in the face, but they aren't going to stop with their survivor guilt that they're living with right. on a regular basis.
Well, you know, another thing though too, is with fentanyl, and Sandra was telling us all about this. It's in so many things where mm-hmm. it's not somebody saying, hey, I'm going to use some fentanyl tonight. Mm-hmm. It's I'm going to smoke a joint of locally grown or maybe from Mexico or Arizona mm-hmm. or someplace marijuana mm-hmm. and it's laced with fentanyl.
Yeah.
And that's happening, isn't it?
It's coming in. So we are seeing that the marijuana is being sprinkled with it as well. But there's also xylazine, which is an extremely dangerous drug that people don't realize is being mixed into the cocaine, the methamphetamine, the heroin. And it is not for human consumption. This is a horse sedative. But when somebody takes xylazine, Narcan is not going to work on it. And that's why a lot of these overdoses are happening, because it is laced not only with fentanyl, but it's also laced with the xylazine. And so...
So would one intentionally take xylazine?
No. I mean, you could.
But that's not a sought-after drug.
Not individually.
Like some other stuff we're talking about.
It will slowly decrease your breathing. And if people survive xylazine, they are literally on a breathing machine for several days before they potentially could come out of it. But most people don't come out of a xylazine.
Wow. Hey, let's talk about something that I think is, I know fentanyl, and that is a big, big problem. And I'm not sure we got our arms around that yet. But what about just stuff that over the counter, alcohol, medications?
Yeah, absolutely. People overdose on that all the time. You will, you know, you'll get, I took a bottle of Tylenol. I drank a bottle of antifreeze, which, you know, sitting from our standpoint, it's kind of hard to fathom how somebody can do that, but it does happen. You know, when I worked in a hospital, I had people come in with that kind of an overdose. Alcohol is a big one. And then when you mix the alcohol with a street drug, then it's a really big,
You do learn that in drugs, alcohol, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. I mean, mm-hmm. You mix that stuff together. So what people do then is, I want to just get my arms around and you've been here before, but people would call you like almost after the fact.
So we get called out. Maybe a loved one comes home or they discover their loved one has
right.
passed. They call 911.
Right.
Law enforcement comes on scene. The family's distraught. Law enforcement pages out for VCRs, victim crisis responders, to come on to the scene. And then we come on. We offer that support. We offer that comfort. We get them connected to the organizations where they can start to feel that support. So we kind of look at ourselves as this temporary Band-Aid in this gaping wound, if that makes sense.
That's awesome. Did you start this, or is this a national program? How's it funded?
We are funded by the VOCA grant. We are getting ready to have a fundraiser. I'll talk about that in 1 second. But I didn't start it. Our organization has been around for 25 years.
Hey, tell me about VOCA.
VOCA is the Victim of Crimes Act.
All right.
And it's a grant
federal,
that we get.
Right.
It's a federal grant.
Right. Okay.
So, we're nonprofit. And so we do try to raise funds to help cover other costs that we incur that are grant, because we can only use that for crime.
I like the fact that you're just talking about victims, because even the new the victim thing where they can play a part in testifying against, you know, what a loss it was with their loved one or family member or whomever. You know, the victim's advocacy has become so big recently. I mean, that's a really important thing. That's a real big thing taking place in Michigan right now with a guy in Oxford, Michigan, the kid that killed some people at his school.
Yep.
And the mom. Yeah,
they're holding mom and dad accountable.
Mom got sentenced to a pretty good.
She did.
And I think today they're coming out with the dad's thing. If he's going to prison. I mean, she went to prison.
The thing that a lot of people don't realize is that they will take phones and they will go back and take the messages that have come in for the person that has passed away and go back and look to see. And they have found drug dealers by doing
in
that.
Contact.
So, yeah. That's great. Yeah. We're going to keep you over for a minute here, okay? Because we want to talk about this big event. Charity event. We see that Midwest Restoration, ironically, I didn't know this, our sponsor right here of this show in this segment is one of the sponsors of that. We want to talk about that. We just got a text here. It says, we only use half of a cc of xylazine. Is that the
xylazine
to sedate a cow for surgery?
Mm-hmm.
That's how scary that stuff is. A cow,
a half a cc. That's so little. It's so little in the grand scheme of things. So,
and that puts a cow unconscious.
Correct. Correct.
Wow. Where do people get their hands in this stuff?
I don't know. Don't know where the xylazine comes from. Where they can get it? It's just mind blowing to me that they're able to.
But we're not making that here, are we?
Is it a synthetic thing? Must be, huh?
I can't.
I mean, it must be stuff like for animals.
Yeah, okay. I don't know enough about it.
No, I'm getting over my skis on
that, but I think that's up there with fentanyl. I'm not sure that
it is up there.
It's not a meth lab thing. I don't think, but I don't know.
It is mixed up there with fentanyl. Yeah, definitely. Wow.
All right. Well, thank God you're there when a tragedy like this happens. But we want to support this because we need this.
Keep over, okay?
Okay.
All right, Charity.
All right. We'll be back with more. This is very important stuff. Cheryl Dingman, Fox City's Victim Crisis Response Team. We'll be back right after this.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here on Thursday morning. Cheryl Dingman, Fox City's Victim Crisis Response Team, is with us. And I'm reading your brochure here. And we're going to talk a little bit about the big event you have coming up that's sponsored by Midwest Restoration, amongst others. But I'm just reading some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to butcher the names. Tianeptine?
Tianeptine. Good try.
Pretty close, huh?
Yeah, this is a brand new one that we were just made aware. It's not quite in Wisconsin yet, but it's coming. So that's why I wanted to kind of bring it to the attention
of
everybody. And
the slang term is gas station dope.
Correct.
What does that mean?
It's also known as Zaza or Tiana Red. And so a lot of gas stations they just sell, you know, what might give you a quick high or keep you up to do a paper. You remember back in the day when we used to all take, was it Vivarin? Is that what it was
absolutely.
Called?
V-I-V-A-R-I-N.
Yes. And so, but it's a gas.
I did.
He did.
Then it went to White Cross.
And that's exactly what we did. but people are taking this for that quick high. The problem is that the withdrawal from it is so severe that people are ending up in the ICU and that they are having to be heavily sedated just to get through the withdrawal of it. So I just wanted to make people aware of it. It started, I guess there was a big thing down in Alabama is where it started a couple of years ago, but it is now in surrounding states of Wisconsin.
You said right here, withdrawal symptoms include delirium that was requiring high doses of sedating medication.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then the other one there, we're talking is xylazine, also known as Trank.
Correct. On the streets, it's known as Trank.
And here's the thing. It's a horse sedative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a horse sedative.
Or an animal one as the color that texts it in. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But the other thing is wounds can be so infected. Like if you just even had a small scratch and then you started in on the xylazine, if you were to go and YouTube some of the videos, it literally eats away at your skin, almost like necrotizing. Like it just kind of eats away at the flesh.
Wow.
Okay. So Cheryl, but I mean, you kind of come in after the fact. You know, when all this, these terrible things we're talking about, when they take a victim or the worst case, a child, do you also give advice? Because you learn things when you're talking to the family and they're telling you things. Oh, my God, you know, he was doing this. She was doing that. Do you work? Because we got to get ahead of this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all after the fact. I mean, we got to get preventative on this. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, but do you work with law enforcement to help them? Do you work with the hospitals, with the counseling services, with the rehab places?
So it's a really good question. I'm actually on the overdose fatality review team in Winnebago County, and there is a group of people that come together, which includes law enforcement. It includes medical examiners. It includes all the different hospitals and some physicians. It includes like probation and parole.
Right.
And we will pick one case. We talk about that case. We go through the from the nitty gritties of that case to find out what their history was, what all they went through, the different hospitals and maybe doctors that they had experienced. And then we try to come together and figure out what could have been done differently. How could this victim have been supported in different ways than what they were? And we do try to get ahead of it. And having all those people in the same room really just makes it come to a point where, okay, we need to start reaching out to our legislatures and our congressmen and having
conversations. That's what Sandra tried doing in front of the assembly.
But it's hard because
some of them got their heads buried in the sand.
Yeah. They do.
No see, no hear, no whatever.
So these cases that you've reviewed and you've taken care of the families after the someone has died, but you're getting together with the stakeholders in this, right? I think that's great, the people you've just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Is there a common thread? I mean, is there something that, you know, you've been in this for a while. Mm-hmm. This kind of, you know, Johnny and I know a little bit about this because of guests.
Very little. I mean, I've learned more, got to talk with Sandra and you. I had no idea.
Right. Is there something, when you say to go talk to the legislators, they're not any more schooled on this than me and John. You're going there for the money, right?
Well, yeah, because you have to have that money in order to.
Right, I get
to,
that. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's, but they don't have the answers. The answers are going to come from people like you and that committee you serve
on. The street.
You've
got to
come and give examples. You've got to be personal. You've got to keep it 100. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, I have lost a stepson and a cousin to overdose. And it's affected me on a different level than maybe it might affect somebody who hasn't. But it takes on a whole different meaning for me because I see what it does to the family members.
Absolutely.
But people are taking this for a reason, right? They're not happy. I mean, there's some of it, but like Johnny said earlier,
it's so much deeper than just a high. There's something that they're wanting to cover. It's the trauma that maybe they've experienced in life in the past. It's the pain of, you know, maybe a failed relationship. Maybe it's, you know, mental health disease that kind of plays a part in this too.
Insecurities.
Right. So I'm thinking
it's compounded
school counselors. I just want to get in front of it because what you do is great. And God bless you for doing what you do. And this is in 70 counties or you're looking at 70 or I read something on 70 counties. Is your program available in other counties?
No, our program is available in Winnebago and Outagamie County. That is where we will travel to wherever we need to. Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Todd, can you put up that text you just had again?
Yep.
I want to read this just about when we're talking about things that people put in their bodies or whatever about how. And the thing is, you know, when I was growing up and we'd have those, you know, almost like the say no to drug things, but those things, and we didn't know much. You didn't even hear about LSD. It's like, what's LSD? We didn't have any idea. And heroin, we had no idea. And, you know, we thought pot was the worst thing in the world. But people now, you can research it. You go on your phone and you can learn everything you want to know about everything you put in your body. And I got a text here. It was available from my cow veterinarian years ago, but they will no longer write a prescription because of human safety.
Yeah, exactly. And it's unfortunate. Oh, okay. You have to come to that.
Okay, 2 minutes. Talk about your big event.
So we have a big fundraiser event coming up. It's on April the 13th. It is starting at 11 a.m. It will be at Tanner's Grill and Bar in Darboy. And this is a fundraiser to raise funds for the VCRs and for CERT, who we also do on scene with, which is the community emergency response team. They are paged out by fire departments to help support and keep those firefighters going as they're filling or fighting those fires. So there's going to be a cornhole tournament at this. There is a meat raffle, a wine pull. We will have different auctions. 50-50 raffle will be every hour on the hour. There's going to be gun raffles. We have all kinds of raffle baskets that are going to be put up. And this is to help raise money so that we can continue to help serve our community.
Phenomenal.
You've checked all the boxes. Yep. We do a lot of fundraisers, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah, so I mean, hope everybody can come.
On.
Yeah,
Saturday the 13th of April.
Correct.
11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That, and we need to support because we got to get the word out that we need your response team to be with the victims. But then, what I like about you is that you are working with a larger group to get ahead of this thing, and that's what's absolutely critical.
Phenomenal.
So, yeah, thanks for what you're doing,
Cheryl. Thank you for everything you're doing. God bless you. What happened in your family and everything.
Appreciate
you're welcome
it.
Back anytime yep. you want.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a great advocate for community. All right, we're going to set a quick break. Back after this.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.